finishing up week 17 in your fantasy baseball season, and we'll help you set your lineup for week 18. You know the drill. It's Friday, July 25th. Adam Azer, Scott White, and Al Melchior. We've got the Kendrys Morales trade. We have some other minor, meaningless trades. A great start for Marcus Stroman. Brandon McCarthy continues to be really good for the Yankees. How about that?
How about it?
Ryan Braun's heating up. Closer news. And the comedic styles of Al Melchior and Scott White.
Is that what we do? Provide the comedy?
Sometimes.
Yeah, all right.
Al's, you've been
my clown.
Killing it with puns lately, Scott. And Al, always good with the wordplay. Whatever. All right, let's get to it. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And watch the video show. We got John Heyman on live noon Eastern time to talk about the latest trade rumors. So, Kendrys Morales. This Kendrys Morales news just doesn't seem as as noteworthy as the last Kendrys Morales news when he signed with the Twins.
Yeah, it's because in between those two things, he was not good.
All right, but you look at Morales, right? So he gets traded from Minnesota to Seattle for relief pitcher Stephen Prior. Obviously, we know what he can do with Seattle. Last year, he was the number 17 first baseman in points, number 19 in Roto, hit 23 homers with the Mariners. He's got a 12-game hitting streak going. Well, he had one until Wednesday. Very modest streak. Six doubles, though, in 12 games. Maybe just needed a while to get going. Stephen Drew's been awful. Morales has been awful by his standards, 234 with a home run. So do you think he gets a boost here going to Seattle?
I don't know that really the trade gives him a boost. Like you said, we know he can play well at Seattle because he did last year. Would have liked to see him get traded somewhere else, but whatever, he's there now. I think, like you said, it just he didn't even like spend any time in the minors when they signed him. He just came right back in against a bunch of players in midseason form, and he was still basically going through his spring training, and showing signs of coming out of it now. I think he can. I still think he could be a useful, cheap source of power down the stretch, provided he doesn't get lost in like some sort of Logan Morrison, Corey Hart vortex there.
Jesus Montero.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he's going to be around, but yeah.
Morales or Singleton?
I will go Morales at this point.
I would too. Yeah.
It's hard to take Singleton over anyone at this point.
Exactly. Yeah.
Morales or Corey Hart?
Morales.
Yeah, Morales.
Lucas Duda.
Duda.
Yep.
That's an easy one. Duda's been really good. The Yankees acquired Chris Capuano. Oh, we're supposed to grade these trades.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, graded for Seattle.
Like, are they going to listen and care?
Sure.
Really?
You know Kayla is.
Oh. Oh. grade the trade.
I'll give it a B.
Yeah. B plus. Yeah.
The Yankees acquired Chris Capuano, who might start, I don't know, from Colorado for cash considerations. Grade the trade for the Yankees.
Well, you know, since they're printing money,
yeah,
it's you know, there's no real cost.
So it's what, a C?
Well, all right.
C plus?
I don't even think it's a C. I know the Yankees need
opportunity cost there.
There you go, Scott. There's the real cost. Somebody who can pitch better in Yankee Stadium. Capuano needs to be in a better park.
D.
So?
Oh, you want a grade still.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, D.
D. Yeah. And Baltimore acquired Jimmy Paredes from Kansas City for cash considerations.
F.
Opportunity cost?
I feel like that was mean.
All right, I'll give it an A. Maybe he'll get a big base hit sometime.
That's a wide range.
Yeah. Scott, just give it a C. Yeah. Let's talk about Thursday standouts. We will look at the most added and most dropped players. We'll look at the two-star pitchers and the best hitting matchups and the worst hitting matchups in Week 18. Not a lot of emails today. Do have a lot of notes to get to in injuries, but I think Marcus Stroman, 7 innings, 1-hit ball against the Red Sox. No runs, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He's got a 1.83 ERA in his last 6 starts, and he's just been awesome. But 111 and two-thirds last season in the minors, 103 innings this year combined, majors and minors. So what does the future hold for Marcus Stroman the last couple months of the season?
Sounds like not a lot of pitching from what you're implying here.
No, I'm not implying anything.
Oh, you're just asking a question. Just
yeah, just
you're just curious.
I got to bring it up. Got to bring it up.
I kind of feel like if the Blue Jays stay in the race,
they'll just blow them out.
I don't know that they'll blow them out, but I don't know. The whole Jose Fernandez thing last year kind of, because we kept talking about it and worrying about it and, you know, panicking about it or whatever. And he pitched through halfway through September, you know. It wasn't really.
Did he? I thought it was earlier.
I think it was like September 9th. But
did they skip him at all? Let's look it up.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Stroman's been good enough that even if he does get skipped and just is limited to one start weeks all the time, like, you're still going to be happy with him. The big crime here is that he was started in only 46% of leagues.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy because he's been awesome as a starter. Entered with a 250 ERA in the role. And now it's lower, obviously. So just enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts, Adam.
Sorry, I'm looking up Jose Fernandez's game. Like, yeah, Stroman 80% owned. Got to be on right now. But would you sell him? You know, expecting a decline.
No, I mean,
okay. An innings limit.
I expect both, and I don't care because declining from where he's been is okay, and the innings limit. I'm in a Scott White frame of mind. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looks like Jose Fernandez didn't really get skipped. So, yeah, he was fine, and he threw 172 and two-thirds innings that
year.
Yeah,
I mean, it stunk if you were in a roto league and you lost that the last, 3 weeks, or, you know, you were in your playoffs
and
you didn't have
them. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I think it'll be a very similar scenario with Stroman, but, you know, just try to build as much depth around him as you can because he's going to help you get in the playoffs. He's going to help you build a nice lead down the stretch.
Who do you guys want to talk about from Thursday?
I don't know, Adam. Do you have any Josh Donaldson hand updates for us?
I don't have any. But you can't go all Josh Donald. Everybody hit last night.
No, I'm just saying. Donaldson, his last 10 games, .324 batting average.
How many homers,
runs,
though? Two?
Yeah. It's coming around.
Good.
The hand is
and
healthy.
He stole base yesterday,
I presume. Yeah.
Good. I guess it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Well, then, do you feel like it's only a matter of time for Michael Morse? Because this man has hit one home run in 40 games. .257, one homer, six RBIs, six walks, 39 strikeouts, 10 doubles. That's amazing. 40 games for Michael Morse.
Mike Morse, you're better than that.
Mike Morse, yeah. I refuse to call Nori Aoki Nori. I refuse to call Mike Morse Mike.
You saved two syllables.
I'm just being stupid. I can't remember. Who's the other? Oh, Nate Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi, I always call Nate. I'm living in the past, man.
Yeah, well, Michael, we still do have Morse. Michael Morse.
We do?
It's always been that way.
All right, because on Baseball Reference today, it was Mike.
Well, everybody's always called him Mike except for us. It's been Michael.
Well,
it's a weird.
It's like we're mad at him.
We're behind in the times.
Michael Eugene Morse. Why are you only hitting one home run?
And we had that weird stretch of like 2 or 3 years where Howie Kendrick became Howard Kendrick, and there was no right. explanation for that. Now he's back to being Howie.
Then he was no longer grounded, so we could call him Howie again.
So what do you guys make of Mike Morse? Michael John Morse, by the way, according to Baseball.
Well, he has been very streaky in terms of power, but I think that has really coincided with his health. So even though I have absolutely no reason to think that he's hurt, I don't really understand this magnitude of a slump if he's healthy.
You mean he's been streaky with his power over his career and it's coincided with his health?
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think that might be a factor here. He was a little dinged up at one point, but do you guys think Morse will finish strong, get back to slugging?
I'm in the absence of any kind of news about a health issue. Yeah, absolutely I do.
Okay. Anything else? I've got a lot here, but
let's
go nuts.
Let's go ahead and go to one of the ones you have here. Mr. Brandon McCarthy.
I like him.
I've been critical of Mr. McCarthy. But there was an interesting tidbit cutter on Quick Pitch this morning.
Was it the cutter
MLB
thing?
MLB Network show. Yes, it was the cutter thing.
Yeah. He throws his cutter now. The Yankees are like, hey, throw your cutter.
Yeah.
And okay.
And beyond that, the Diamondbacks told him not to throw his cutter.
Yeah.
And he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. So he started throwing his cutter again because the Yankees thought he had become too predictable in Arizona. And while the first start was just okay, 9 hits, I think, in 6 innings or so, the last two have been really good, and all the stat heads were pointing to the FIP and XFIP there.
That's where stat heads point.
Even before. So I think the storyline with the cutter combined with those advanced stats has me suddenly pretty high on McCarthy myself.
Well, look, McCarthy was really bad last year, really bad this year with Arizona, but 2011 and 2012, he had a 3.32 ERA, he had a 3.24 ERA, he had a 1.13 whip and a 1.25 whip. He's striking out a career high by almost an entire strikeout per nine this year. So, I mean, based on those two seasons, I don't know about the Ks, but he gives up a lot of hits. I mean, you can look at the hits, but he does give up a lot of hits probably because he's a ground ball pitcher. He doesn't walk anyone. And I don't know. He's been really good for the Yankees. The only thing I'll say about the last two starts is Cincinnati had a dreadful lineup, and Texas is off. So,
yeah,
the matchups did factor in there. But there are a lot of bad lineups. You know, like offense is down. So McCarthy's got good stuff. I've been really impressed watching him. I've been very surprised at it.
I think sometimes we exaggerate the importance of ground balls to BABIP. Yeah, fly ball pitcher is going to be much more likely to have a better than average rate. But the problem with McCarthy is he's been too much of a line drive pitcher. And that's something, I mean, I know I say this over and over again on the show and on our video show, that's something that usually corrects itself. But when you see that, you know, back-to-back years or, you know, longer, it occurs to me maybe this is somebody who's just too easy to hit.
Well, but the whole theory about him throwing another pitch now, does that change things for you?
A bit, yeah. I mean, especially when it coincides with better performance.
Yeah.
And that we are talking about one of the most vulnerable stats in line drive rate. Mm. So I worry more about McCarthy with that than most because it's been sort of persistent, but like you guys, I am encouraged.
So would you guys go with Brandon McCarthy or a guy who really struggled yesterday, Ruby De La Rosa?
I would rather go with Ruby De La Rosa. Cause
I would too. And I don't know if you have this note about De La Rosa, but this was a road start for him. 4 road starts, 4 home starts now. 6.04 ERA on the road, 1.38 at home. So that, I mean, it's not much of a sample,
yeah,
but it's...
Because there have been 3 really good home starts and 1 bad one, and 3 really bad road starts and 1 good one. But this is what I was talking about with him being inconsistent. Basically, he's been 7 innings and no runs or 1 run in 4 starts, and then the other 4 have been 20 innings, 20 and a third, 31 hits, 17 earned runs. So awful. And all 6 of the home runs De La Rosa has given up have come in those 4 bad starts. So I think that's why he's only owned in 39% of leagues. You know, people see that and they don't like it.
I still like him.
I do too. I'm a little disappointed he's not giving us more strikeouts. That's my biggest concern with De La Rosa.
All right, let's compare De La Rosa with some other Despaigne or De La Rosa.
De La Rosa.
Jorge or Ruby?
Come on, Ruby.
Miley or Ruby?
Ruby.
Keep moving up.
Roark or Ruby?
Roark.
Yep, Roark.
Bauer or Ruby?
Bauer.
Oh. You might be in my sweet spot there, Adam. I think I'm going Bauer, except in head-to-head.
Liriano or Brandon McCarthy?
Liriano.
McCarthy.
All right. J.P. Arencibia, 7% owned, hit his 3rd home run since being recalled. But he's got 25 at-bats, and he's batting 160. And I just, at this point of the season, I think you got to really look at where you are in batting average and where you are in home runs if you're going to take a risk on J.P. Arencibia, because he could be hit less than 200, right?
I mean, that's a dilemma you have in deep leagues, because he's always going to hurt you so much in batting average that he's, you know, it's like going for Chris Carter. I think only worse, actually.
But the thing is, with him being a catcher, it's almost like the more at-bats he's going to get now that he's playing first base and DH, it's going to hurt your batting average even more.
That's a good point.
It's going to help your home runs more, but it's interesting. So what do you do with J.P. Arencibia? Since he's been recalled, 163 homers, no walks, 8 Ks, number 8 catcher in points, number 6 in Roto. Obviously, very small sample size here.
I think even a two-catcher league's 7% ownership doesn't need to go that much higher. He's obviously one of the better power-hitting catchers, but because it's all or nothing, like as much all or nothing as it can be, you'd have to be really, really not liking your second catcher and really short on power to even consider it.
So would you go Grandal or Arencibia?
And needs aside, I would go Grandal.
Yeah, Grandal for me too, and he's getting a lot of playing time now, playing a lot of first base.
Yeah, but Alonso should be coming back soon, very soon. I don't know if that'll...
That's a real dilemma for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're even wearing your cane shirt today.
A couple of canes. It's Jersey Friday. You got to show support. How are you not wearing a Braves thing today? It's a huge weekend for the Braves, Scott. Hall of Fame weekend here.
It's a good point.
Three Braves.
Good point. Three Braves getting inducted. I'm very excited about that. I'm probably going to be the first time I actually watch the induction ceremony.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't think about it when I got dressed this morning.
You're just too sad that you lost a series to the Marlins.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine strike me as two of the most boring individuals.
No.
Not...
No?
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't... Are they not?
No! Well, Greg Maddux is
certainly
funny.
Isn't.
Is he?
He's very funny.
Really? Because he looks very quiet.
Yeah. He does. He has, like... Go read some of the stories going around online about him.
Really?
Really, not just funny, but like kind of like in a wicked way.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I
never saw much personality from them, I guess. I never really paid attention.
Glavine, I would kind of agree with that, especially now that he's, I don't think he's full-time, but a part-time Braves broadcaster. He doesn't add a lot of personality.
Oh, okay. All
but right. I was like, even before I knew about the wacky stuff that Maddux did, just I did like his persona, just, you know, very thoughtful in his craft.
It's kind of cool. He went out there, didn't look anything like a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
They were great in that commercial.
What commercial?
What commercial? The Nike commercial, Chicks Dig the Long Ball?
From like 15 years ago?
99 or something, yeah.
That's when they were in their funny prime.
I don't remember them specifically. I remember the ad campaign.
Okay. It's a great commercial.
It's a classic commercial.
All right, I'll look it up now.
It cracks me up today.
I know, it's still funny.
Yeah.
All right. I'll look it up. Okay, anything else before we move on?
Well... Didn't pitch last night, but I do want to talk a little bit about Homer Bailey.
Oh, you know, the standouts are only for the guys who played yesterday, Al.
But this whole podcast is about guys who played yesterday.
Go for it.
A little special moment here for Homer Bailey.
And, okay.
You know, and he deserves it because I think he's much maligned, and you look at the fact that he's still got a 4.22 ERA, and he's recently had some less than impressive starts. It's easy to just kind of write off his season. But the last 10 starts, overall, he has been the Homer Bailey that we've come to know and love the last couple of years. 3.26 ERA, a 13% swinging strike rate, and 66% strikes thrown rate, and ground ball to fly ball 1.09. So all the kinds of ratios that you're either used to seeing for Bailey or even better with a good ERA. Not great, but a good one. He's a must start for me for week 18.
Good to know. You guys encouraged by Ryan Braun? Last 30 games, 325, 386, 592, 5 homers, 27 RBI, 19 runs, 3 steals, 9 doubles, 4 triples. That makes him the number 7 outfielder in the last 30 games and the number 15 hitter in fantasy during that stretch.
What says you, the great Ryan Braun detractor of the group?
I don't think there was a bigger Ryan Braun supporter than me.
Oh, but
in
you
the
turned
preseason.
On him.
I just
you
soon
turned
as the,
on a dime.
As soon as the thumb thing came out, I just had lost faith. This is very encouraging.
It is.
I'd like to see more home runs, but
yeah,
five's not bad.
Yeah, this is just gut feeling. I wouldn't be surprised if he just had a monster second half. It was just a terror. And in the end, his numbers looked like maybe not his very best years, but more or less like you're used to seeing from Ryan Braun.
Scott, as long as he is just slightly, slightly worse than Carlos Gomez, I am all about that. All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. Ron Washington is not sure if Neftali Feliz can close on consecutive days. Well, that doesn't make him too appealing now, does it?
No.
Joaquim Soria is going to pitch the seventh inning for now, and Joe Nathan struck out the side yesterday, got his 21st save. Eight appearances in July for Nathan. Three earned runs, all came in one outing. The other seven have been scoreless. David Ortiz left yesterday's game with a back issue. He may not play today. Phil Hughes left yesterday's start in the fourth inning. Took a comebacker off his leg. Yoenis Cespedes, sprained thumb, could be back tonight. Cleveland hopes that Drubal Cabrera will return this weekend. Seattle called up Jesus Montero to DH, and they called up Chris Taylor, who started at shortstop last night, went 1-for-3 with a K, and Montero went 0-for-3 with a strikeout, and Taijuan Walker was sent down. So your thoughts on the Seattle situation?
Do the Mariners understand they only get one DH spot in the lineup?
They certainly do have a bunch of DH types, don't they?
Yeah.
And Montero was supposed to DH against lefties, right? The first time he came up, wasn't that the deal?
Yes, it was.
Last night they faced a righty, Dylan G.
I mean, I don't know. I just wonder if this is just a stopgap, maybe until Morales is ready. I don't know.
I'm assuming
it's just like a one day thing.
I'm assuming it doesn't move the needle for you and make you want to add Montero.
No.
Taylor thing?
It does move the needle for me on Brad Miller.
Right.
That's not good.
Is Taylor worth adding?
Well, it's interesting that it coincided with Willie Bloomquist going on the DL, because Bloomquist, it wasn't a strict platoon with him and Miller, but Miller would sit sometimes against lefties and Bloomquist would start. So maybe Taylor just slides into that role. I would think he'd play a little more than Bloomquist did. He had some pretty good numbers at AAA. Not so much power, but good batting average, some steals potential. I think Miller is the better option long term, but it's hard to know what the Mariners think at this point.
Okay. Steve Pierce sat again. Delmon Young DH'd and homered. Starting to get a little worried about Steve Pierce, anyone?
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's sitting out two games in a row certainly doesn't look good.
I don't get it. It's not like he had a slump, but I don't think he did enough to warrant losing his... Let's just say he loses his starting job. I don't think Pierce deserves to have lost it.
He still got on base at a decent rate, even as he went a stretch without getting so many hits. So I'm surprised, too.
Manny Machado was out again with a back injury. He remains day-to-day. Ryan Howard sat last night against a righty and could platoon with Darren Ruff. You know, theoretically, Howard would mostly sit against lefties. But Ruff hit 14 home runs last year in 73 games. There's also been a report that the Phillies, John Heyman actually reported it, the Phillies would like to trade Howard, but they'd have to eat almost all of his remaining salary. So if Howard got traded, would you guys be adding Ruff? Certainly in NL only.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a deeper mixed leagues.
Yeah. Got power potential, right?
Yeah. When you were starting to say that, you know, they'd have to eat more of or eat Howard's contract, I thought you were going to say they're going to eat more roughage.
No.
They'll be doing that, too.
I wasn't going to say that. Two more hits, an RBI, and a run scored for Austin Jackson.
Yeah. Just wait till we talk sleepers for next week.
Okay. Another homer for Chris Carter.
Yeah. I wonder when that's going to stop.
J.D. Martinez remained out with a quad injury. C.J. Cron started a DH for the Angels against Detroit. He did have an RBI, but he picked a bad day to come back because Max Scherzer was on the mound. Zach McAllister, Al, is expected to start Sunday at Kansas City for Cleveland. What does that mean for Salazar?
What the heck? Because, yeah, I think it was just one day before.
Mm-hmm.
They said Salazar was going to start. So Indians, they don't know what they're doing.
No, they don't. ESPN reports the Yankees are interested in Jorge De La Rosa. The Yankees have also been linked to Ian Kennedy. Houston likely to hold on to Chad Qualls, according to Astros.com. John Heyman reporting that Arizona would rather trade Aaron Hill than Martin Prado. Fox Sports reports Seattle has inquired about Drew Stubbs. Talk about just ruining a player's fantasy value. Drew Stubbs going from Colorado to Seattle,
yeah,
that would not be
good. That would be not a wise move for Seattle.
Yeah, probably not. And Yonder Alonso mentioned he's close to being back. So are Jed Jerko and Everett Cabrera. Jed Jerko, chances for a big second half. Or second half, whatever. Big 55 games or whatever.
Moderate. Is that enough?
Sure. Must own?
I kind of feel like he has a little Chris Davis in him where he could just go on a tear. Either Chris Davis would work there, I guess.
I wonder if Chris Davis with a C has a little Chris Davis left there.
Yeah. I actually meant Chris Davis with a K for what it's worth.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I was thinking Chris Davis with a C. What were you thinking when he said that?
Yeah, no, I thought with a C.
Guy who's been bad this year but still has the power potential.
Yeah. I wouldn't say must own, but I if he's healthy, I like his chances for a good 55 games.
Eric Hosmer was out of the lineup with his hand injury. How about a look at the most added and most dropped players in CBSSports.com leagues?
Who was that?
I have no idea. Just getting a little goofy. Number one, Danny Salazar. Number two, Joaquin Benoit. Number three, Jacob deGrom. Number four, Chris Johnson. Five, Neftali Feliz. Six, Brandon McCarthy. Salazar or deGrom?
Salazar.
I like deGrom.
You sold on him?
Pretty much. I know some people who will remain unnamed, Herc, want to see him against some, don't like the matchups he's been doing this against, but it's been going on for so long. It's like they're major league teams.
How many teams is he going to face? What is he going to do? Face the Nationals, then pitch at the Rockies, then, you know, play an interleague game against the Angels? Like, how many times is he going to face a tough matchup? Four or three of the teams in his division that he'd be playing.
The
Marlins, the Braves, and the Phillies. I mean, maybe if it's at Philadelphia, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not like you're shying away from it.
Right. That's a good point, too.
Yeah, the matchups thing has kind of lost its power as an argument for me. It's just, where has this come from? And you know, how much longer can he sustain it? I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, yeah, it's been going on for longer than I would have expected, but just not sold on DeGrom yet.
He's Klubering it. Klubering it.
Kluber gave you a clue, though, last couple seasons with the strikeouts.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah, I did.
All right, moving on. You know what? Let's stop at Chris Johnson. He homered yesterday. He's 48% owned, and he's been really good.
Scott just literally
what the hell was that? Scott just gave a hand wave.
Well, I was going to look something up, but I realized it was going to be too far in the rearview mirror to even bring up. So
what were you hand waving? The Chris Johnson surge or the
looking up
thing?
I kind of wanted to look up what Corey Kluber had done in the minors because I didn't remember being that spectacular.
Well, I'm doing the hand gesture for Chris Johnson. Forget about it, folks. He's not going to have a big power surge.
Five home runs in 9 games. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
He's that good. So,
but I agree with that.
He's number four. Chase Headley's number seven. Who would you prefer?
I would prefer Chase Headley.
Let me see some other third basemen that are on the most added list. Would you rather have Chris Johnson or Josh Rutledge?
Rutledge. I trust that power for as long as he's playing.
How long is he going to play?
Doesn't matter. Toss him away, then I'll pick up the equivalent or better of Chris Johnson.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris Johnson or Connor Gillespie?
Gillespie.
Yeah, I think Gillespie.
All right, moving down the most added list, Chase Headley 7, Austin Jackson 8, Despaigne 9, Rutledge 10, Phelps 11, Shane Green 12.
Now Phelps, that's another mirage there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Good ERA, but still not very good control, which is something that's really kind of dogged him throughout his career. And pretty mediocre swing and miss rate. He's the same guy who's just not given up as many runs lately.
Yeah, I think really the last two starts for the Yankees in their rotation, even though they've been home starts, Cincinnati and Texas, those have been really favorable matchups because, you know, Cincinnati had Novato, Billy Hamilton had a terrible series, Cincinnati had no Brandon Phillips, and then Texas has Adrian Beltre in this horrible slump, and Alex Rios only played two of the four games. All right, we'll move down here to Stephen Drew, number 13, but only owned in 18% of leagues. Jorge De La Rosa, 44% owned. J.J. Hardy is 15th. Brock Holt is 16th. Odorizzi, 17th. Stroman, 18th. Hunter, 19th. Miley, 20th.
I think I'm offended that Stroman isn't higher.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I just don't think he has that much room to go. He's 80% owned now.
Oh, Stroman's that high now?
Yeah.
Well, then, okay.
I don't know why.
I'm no longer offended.
I am disappointed in our users for the Stroman stuff, sitting him. And yeah, I mean, I do think he deserves to be owned in more than that. But I am I'm proud of them for, by and large, staying away from Jorge De La Rosa, despite his 11 wins. Because wins usually drive ownership percentage among starting pitchers, even though we almost never pay attention to them here because we don't believe there's any predicting them, really.
What about if De La Rosa does get traded to a better ballpark? The weird thing is his numbers are better at home than they are on the road.
That is the thing, and it's been pretty – I don't know about being better, but it's not like he's been a pitcher who struggles at Coors Field, which is kind of the odd thing about it. They finally get a pitcher who can pitch well at home, and he's not a good pitcher overall. So – So, no, that wouldn't really change anything for me.
So, you know why fantasy owners sat Marcus Stroman with the was this just a one-start week? Yeah, it was a one-start week.
Just because it was a one-start week?
Well, okay. I don't know how many are in a 10-day week and how many are in a 3-day week, but I partially sat Marcus Stroman with a two-start 10-day week because his previous start was horrible. 3 2/3, 8 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts at the Angels.
I would guess very few are playing a 10-day week.
Yeah, you're probably right. So coming off a 7-inning scoreless outing on 4 hits, it is weird that he was started in so few leagues against Boston, 59% of leagues. All right, let's go to the most drop list now. And we're talking Joe Smith. Oh, you know what? I missed a big note. Zach Putnam's on the DL. So Jake Petrichka probably has a clear path at saves now, you'd think, right?
For 2 weeks.
An opportunity to seize the job.
That's
Is that
true.
Fair?
Seize the day.
Joe Smith, CJ Krohn. Oh, Petrichka or Feliz?
Feliz.
Yeah, Feliz.
You drop CJ Krohn, he's already back. So he's down to 35% owned. He's out there.
Wow.
Krohn or Morales?
Krohn.
Yep.
Mookie Betts dropped third most drop. Carlos Martinez, fourth most drop. Eovaldi, Herron, finally. Sabathia, Romo, Shelby Miller, Danks. Yeah, Danks has fallen off. Grilly, Waka, Keuchel, Belt, Gibson, Pomeranz, Estrada. Anything stand out there?
Yeah, hard to really have an issue with any of those. Although, you know, personally, I haven't followed the Dallas Keuchel trend. He did cross the threshold of doing this long enough that I'm buying into it, that I'm giving him a break for a while. He's facing the Marlins tonight, so can't really have too many excuses there if he doesn't fare well.
When was the last time a pitcher didn't have a good start against the Marlins?
2 days ago. Mike Minor.
Mike Minor.
Yep.
Good call. That just shows you how bad that start was for Mike Minor.
Mike Minor faces the Padres twice next week.
Holy crap.
Oh, so,
starter
wow. Exactly.
You got to start him, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's wow. If he doesn't do well then, we're going to have
you could drop
serious
him.
Concerns.
Let's run through the rest of these notes really quickly here. I got to do a bit shorter of a show today. Two up. Oh, Aaron Sibbia we talked about. So two up number two is Juan Francisco. 4 RBI, homer, triple yesterday. If he has another good game tonight, are you going to go pick him up because you know he's about to have a huge month? Juan Francisco?
maybe if I really needed home runs in a roto league and didn't see any other options out there for that.
Four down. Nelson Cruz is 6 for his last 44 with no home runs and an RBI.
How come I only see three guys on the Nets?
Oh, I had four. What happened? Oh, you know what? I took out Michael Morse and put him in the standout section. All right, three down. Nelson Cruz, 6 for 44. James Jones, 2 for his last 22, although he did steal a base last night. Alcides Escobar, batting 188 in July with 2 steals, 1 walk, 17 strikeouts. He has been a top 12 shortstop this year, though. Cruz, Jones, Escobar.
I mean, I have to be most worried about Jones and Escobar because Jones, of course, not that long of a track record. Escobar, I'd been always very skeptical of him. And just as I bought into him, he goes ice cold.
Escobar, yeah.
Yeah. Most concerned there, Nelson Cruz. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. He was phenomenal beforehand.
Rotation. Tim Hudson, you know, he's only the number 26 pitcher in points, number 25 in roto, because he only has 8 wins. He's 8-7 this year, had another really good start yesterday. Every starting pitcher ranked ahead of him, ahead of Tim Hudson, except for Iwakuma. And that's not in Alan Scott's rankings. That's in, like, where they actually are.
The ones that matter.
It's the standings or whatnot.
Yeah.
Every single one except for Iwakuma has more wins than Tim Hudson, and Iwakuma has the same amount of wins. So at this point in the season, is Tim Hudson a must start?
Not quite. In fact, he's been sort of a staple in our two-star pitcher segment every Friday mm-hmm. on Fantasy Baseball Today because that's kind of who he is to me. I mean, he's obviously very effective, but because he's not a strikeout guy, he just always winds up kind of on the fringe of, I could start him, but I could go for two-star Odorizzi instead. But yeah, he's not a must-start for me.
Is he a must-start for you?
No, not quite.
Cole Hamels, 10 strikeouts, 1 run in 8 innings against the Giants. And his average fastball velocity, the AP recap, just couldn't stop talking about how hard he's throwing. Average fastball velocity in July is the highest for any month since 2011. It's not so much higher, but it's up. And I guess he was pumping him in there last night. So, Hamels, is he a true ace, can be the number one pitcher on your staff?
Yeah, I think he is, you know, of the lower end. But he can be your number one starter. And not only throwing hard, but doing it with unbelievable command. I think he threw 90 strikes, either 80 or 90 strikes. I'll look it up. It was a crazy ratio.
Corey Kluber and Tyson Ross have really broken out this year. They struck out double digits yesterday. For Kluber, it was 9 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, and 10 strikeouts in an extra inning game. Tyson Ross, only 6 innings, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts, 1 run. Are these guys, well, Kluber, yes, for sure. Is Tyson Ross legit breakout, must start, awesome?
You taking a look at my head-to-head relief pitcher rankings recently, Adam Azer?
No, except for right now.
You might want to take a gander there.
Number
that'll,
8.
That'll tell you everything you need to know about.
I'm more interested to know where he is in your starting pitcher rankings.
He's pretty high there, too. He's
25th.
Yeah.
Wow, and he's 32nd for Al. So you guys like him. Now, this is interesting, just real quick. When you go back and you look at last year's stats in your league or on our fantasy stats page, all the RP eligible starting pitchers from last year, like Shelby Miller, who are no longer RP eligible, don't show up anymore. So who was the best SPARP last year? Do you remember?
Iwakuma.
Oh, Iwakuma.
Yeah.
That's right. Do you think Shelby Miller was second?
I would guess so, unless there's somebody I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I tried to think and I couldn't recall. So I went with Shelby Miller. He was the number 6 relief pitcher in points leagues last year.
Well, this,
the
this
top
is to my
three
point.
This year
yeah.
are starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Richards, Ross, and Simon.
And it's not particularly close. So that's why I've moved Richards. Richards is now my number 1 reliever in points leagues. And Ross is number 2. Simon's a good bit down because I expect him to drop off. But those two are 1 and 2. Not in roto. They're behind like the elite closers in Roto, but that's still pretty high.
It's weird. It's weird how it's so much different. All right, Iwakuma last year, 599 fantasy points. I mean, he had to have been the number one relief pitcher. He was at, like, a top seven starting pitcher, and yeah, he was number one by 57 points over Craig Kimbrell. And Matt Garza had a good start against the Mets.
I really wanted to say something.
We're running out of time. I'm sorry.
Don't do this to him.
I don't care about Matt Garza. Aaron Harang had
Jorge almost did throw 90 strikes. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, okay. All right, fringy starting pitchers. Rank this group. Dylan G, two bad starts in a row. Aaron Harang keeps on doing it. 3.31 ERA. Danny Duffy, probably should have talked about him earlier. Seven scoreless innings, and a strikeout per inning in three of his last four starts, and he's 60% owned. Wei-Yin Chen, Brandon McCarthy, Ruby De La Rosa. G, Harang, Duffy, Chen, McCarthy, De La Rosa. Top three.
Duffy, then De La Rosa. Then I'll still go G ahead of McCarthy.
Yep. G, De La Rosa, Duffy.
Would you drop Taijuan Walker for Duffy?
I would.
Yeah, at this point, sure.
Would you drop R.A. Dickey for Duffy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, in the bullpen, Holland blew a save, second of the year. Kimbrell took the loss. A couple wild pitches doomed him. Jonathan Papelbon, scoreless ninth inning, amid boos for his 24th save. Oakland DFA Jim Johnson, C.J. Wilson's making progress. Edwin Jackson left yesterday's game with cramping in his hand. Doesn't seem serious. Kyle Gibson not expected to start this weekend due to lower back stiffness, and the Mets called up Wilmer Flores. Ruben Tejada's a little dinged up right now. Starter sit hitters, Scott White, it's your time to shine. And whatever we don't cover today, you can read it on the website, fantasynews.cbsports.com, and check out our videos. We do hitting and pitching stuff on the Friday show. Fantasynews.cbsports.com for all your needs.
So, no five-game weeks this week, no eight-game weeks. It's all the traditional sixes and sevens. The best matchups are the Reds, the Tigers, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, and the Cubs. And a couple side notes about some of those matchups there. The Tigers, who were second, five of the six pitchers they face throw left-handed. The Cubs, who were fifth, six of the seven pitchers they face throw left-handed. I don't remember many times this year where a team faced five lefties, and there's two that do this week. One faces six. I don't remember that ever happening.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's some impact because of that. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but Austin Jackson, not only is he crazy hot, significantly better against left-handers, so good matchups, five lefties, hot. He is far and away my favorite sleeper for this week. Emilio Bonifacio, too, fresh off the DL, has been playing every day, and he's batting about 360 against lefties. So those six that are on the schedule for the Cubs are really good news for him. And he's eligible at three positions, so it shouldn't be too difficult to get him in your lineup.
How about J.D. Martinez?
Yeah, how about
I think
him?
Rajay Davis could be a good sleeper, right?
They like
to play him against lefties.
They do, but Martinez is obviously banged up right now. He's been out of the lineup for a few games. And I just don't know how to fit that in with Davis. I still assume Martinez is somebody they want in their lineup, so who would they sit for Davis?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I'm not really... I'm kind of just staying away from that situation. Probably starting Martinez if he looks healthy over the weekend. Some other players I like this week. Gregory Polanco started to pick it up again. Pirates, they weren't among the best matchups, but they do also have good matchups. I like Chase Headley, who you look at his numbers in July. Since he changed his grip. He went back to a grip he had his breakout season, actually, and all the time before that. He had to change his grip spring training of 2013 because he had broken a finger.
Mm.
And he changed back to the old one, and he's hitting again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not for power, necessarily, but good matchups at home this week at Yankee Stadium. So I like him. Few sits to consider. they're not as interesting this week. It was really kind of a tough week for the bad matchups. But the bad matchups are the Marlins, the Brewers, the Phillies, the Indians, and the Twins. And they are legitimately bad matchups, but those teams all have players that are like either so high-end you're not sitting them or so low-end you're not considering them. Yan Gomes is one who's basically gotten to the point where he's almost unsittable, as hot as he's been, but because the Indians do have one of the toughest schedules this week and they're facing all right-handers, he's hitting like 230 against righties this season, so I think he's actually someone to consider sitting. Chris Davis with a K. I know he had a big game last night, but the Brewers have really tough matchups, and he's been cold in general recently, so I might avoid him if you have a lot of outfield options. And Josh Rutledge, he is kind of a sleeper right now, but just because the Rockies are away from Coors all week, and they don't have one of the five toughest schedules, but not the greatest matchups. I don't think he's as hot as he's been. Probably should stay away from him if you're looking for a sleeper.
Let's do some two-star pitchers for Week 18, pages 4 and 5 in your notes.
Following along, thank you.
let's see, are there any, you know, well, how about Jared Weaver at Baltimore and at Tampa Bay?
He's a low-end borderline guy for me, and I think you all know how I feel about him on the road. This is the second straight year where he's had an ERA over 4 on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think it's coincidence. So you wouldn't take somebody with an overall 4 ERA in a two-start week necessarily. So I feel like I'm kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt by making him even a borderline guy. And I'm not too bullish on Weaver this week.
You're cool also, with Shields, right?
And I'm cool with Shields. He's actually on my must-start list. And the must-start list is very hefty this week.
Okay.
Because last week, coming out of the All-Star break, you had the guys starting the week, the number 4 or 5 pitchers. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, we're back to studs getting two-start weeks. So you've got a great selection. So you don't need to mess with Jesse Chavez or David Phelps, Mike Leake, guys like that.
Chavez has Houston and Kansas City. He just struck out a lot of Astros. You know, like, doesn't seem like that bad of a start.
It's not, but that's my point.
But you might not be able to squeeze him in.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
So
everybody looks good then? So Jake Odorizzi's got 2 home starts, that's good?
Yep, he is a must-start for me. And Homer Bailey, as I mentioned before, is a must-start for me as well. So there are maybe a couple of names that might not be the usual suspects in the must-start list. Kyle Loesch is a must-start for me at Tampa Bay, at St. Louis. Stroman. But, yeah, not too many surprises there. But here's the borderline, guys, just real quick. Irvin Santana is my number one. He's got 2 starts against the Padres. Could that be right? Let me look at Minor.
Yeah.
So they both do?
Yeah.
That seems improbable.
Why is that?
Because I thought that was a wraparound series where there was just one game.
You go ahead. I'll look it up for you.
All right. So, yeah. Santana, Anibal Sanchez is on my borderline list because the lack of strikeouts now over an extended period. Phil Hughes is there, assuming that he's okay, and I think he will be okay for his next start. Bartolo Colon, A.J. Burnett, who I'm starting to warm up to, come around on.
Yeah, Bernie.
Trevor Bauer is there. Henderson Alvarez, another good start last night. Then Jared Weaver. Then, did I mention Jose Quintana?
No.
I feel that I skipped over him. So I skipped over him. And then getting back to the back end of the list, Francisco Liriano, Josh Beckett, and Clay Buchholz. Those three are pretty sketchy options. But I feel like each presents enough upside to be worth a second start in your rotation.
But, yeah, I mean, let's say everybody's owned and somebody wants to go out and pick someone up. All right, Tillman you might be able to get. Would you go with Tillman? Would you go with Liriano, Jorge De La Rosa, Eovaldi, you know, and David Phelps? Who do you like from that group?
All right, well, Liriano actually does make my borderline list. So I'm definitely good with him over those guys. Evaldi, I just flat out don't trust. And frankly, Phelps and Tillman, even though they have low ERAs in their recent runs, I don't trust either of them. So they're must-sits for me. And I forget, you had one or two other names there.
No, that was pretty much it. And then we have like Vance Worley.
I thought about putting him in the borderline list, but Garrett Cole will probably be back next weekend. And Worley, I expect, would go to the bullpen. So I'm far less interested in a one-start Worley.
And Tsuyoshi Wada?
I don't think so, because there are so many good, more proven options that I would shy away from Wada outside of NL only.
So I don't see Mike Minor on the two-start list, so I think it might just be Evan Santana getting the two starts.
Okay, so maybe it was the one, and I do, okay, it was one start at the Padres. So if you have a friend, excuse me, who listened to this podcast and bailed that route early and is thinking that Mike Minor's got two starts against the Padres, well, if you're competing against them in the league, don't tell them. But if you like them and you're not competing against them, tell them he only has one start.
So, yeah, Atlanta plays San Diego on Monday. They play three times this weekend. And then they play, Minor goes this weekend against the Padres.
Yeah.
Right. And then Monday they play, and then they have another three-game set next weekend. So Atlanta and San Diego, their BFF.
Too bad.
We do have to end the show. Sorry we didn't get to any emails. We'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. And we're live at noon Eastern time with John Heyman today to talk trade stuff. Should be some interesting, good things from our baseball insider, John Heyman. For Scott White and Al Melchior, I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.